It is Xi Jinping not doing anything particularly new, but being very opportunistic.
China promotes trade and less protectionism. Today is the day to listen to VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We also invite you to check us out on our Facebook page at VOA Asia. Also ahead, be careful if you post online in Vietnam. Cambodian poetry from Pennsylvania. Asian-developed wearable technology. And an Indonesian singer seeks a comeback. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Chinese President Xi Jinping in Geneva in January held out the promise of multilateral cooperation on matters such as nuclear disarmament, terrorism, and climate change, a day after a speech in defense of globalization at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Mr. Xi said in an age of interdependence, it is China's responsibility to build up a community of a shared future for mankind. He said China would continue to work with the international community toward a better future for mankind. RAND Corporation analyst Andrew Scobel tells VOA's Victor Beatty, while such language is nothing new, it may reflect a subtle challenge to the global leadership of the United States.
He seems to be trying to take advantage of a void or a gap. In that sense, he's trying to claim the mantle of leadership in the world at Geneva. It is Xi Jinping not doing anything particularly new, but being very opportunistic, claim the limelight and position himself and China for a greater leadership role in world affairs.
Mr. Xi also met on the sidelines in Geneva with the new UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who said that he was very reassured to see that China is assuming a clear leadership in multilateralism in today's world. Obviously, China views itself differently than it did even just 10 years ago.
China's been rethinking multilateralism for a number of years. So this is a gradual shift in Chinese thinking, style of its diplomacy, more greater comfort in multilateral settings such as the UN. It is a discernible trend, and with the question marks that surround what exactly the policies of the Trump administration will be, this is a clear play by the Chinese to stake out a stronger, more prominent leadership position.
While Andrew Scobel suspects the fiery rhetoric of Donald Trump will moderate over time, he said China remains uncertain of the trajectory of future U.S.-China relations. Ankit Panda, co-editor of the Asia-Pacific current events publication The Diplomat, said China's policies don't often match its globalization rhetoric.
There's a long laundry list of tariff and non-tariff barriers that China has undertaken on trade. So when Xi Jinping goes to Davos and he tells the world that free trade is good, globalization is good, China will stand up for this, I think we should take this with a grain of salt. You know, you can point to China's cultivation of new multilateral banking institutions, including the BRICS New Development Bank and the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. You can look at a very recent Chinese white paper on Asia-Pacific security. You know, you'll note that many of these institutions and statements that China has made are more focused on the Asia-Pacific region more broadly. So I'd say when it comes to multilateralism, interest in global governance, yes, China is interested in preserving the Paris Accord, and yes, China is interested in playing a greater role in UN peacekeeping operations, for example. But more specifically, I'd say that its rulemaking aspirations are, for the moment, still limited to the Asia-Pacific region.
Ankit, I want to pick up on a theme that seems to have played in Mr. Xi's remarks. Quote, nuclear weapons should be completely prohibited and destroyed over time. Is this a new policy?
I believe it's not a new policy on the part of China. China has broadly supported the non-proliferation regime and supported disarmament. Obviously, here again, China's record is a little bit more checkered. There's evidence that China, for example, assisted Pakistan's nuclear breakout and may have conducted nuclear tests on behalf of Pakistan before acceding to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. But again, the fact that she would bring something like up at Davos again shows that China is interested in at least sounding like a responsible global power.
The American Chamber of Commerce in China released its annual survey showing more than 80% of its 500 members felt less welcome and hold out little hope in China's promises to open its markets.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
What's among the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com? It may be trade or economic developments in the region. Are the currents calm or choppy in the South China Sea? What is happening in reclusive North Korea? Is there a new movie or technology that interests you? China is huge and diverse. There's always something happening in the Middle Kingdom. You'll find expanded coverage of all of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia and also on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. If you're online, posting messages and thoughts on social media in some parts of the world can be a dangerous activity should authorities find some objection to your content. A prominent blogger in Vietnam, Pham Chi Dung, is being watched by authorities after his father was detained and questioned about an article for VOA detailing alleged corruption involving a retired police official and a recently imprisoned CEO of a bank. An Vu stops by VOA Asia to tell us more.
Journalist Pham Chi Dung is one of the very well-known freelance journalists in Vietnam, and he has written so many articles, expressed his voice about freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And that's something that the government held a very tight control on. Last week, his father was invited unofficially to the Communist Party in Ho Chi Minh City. He mentioned that his family's belief the investigation by the party committee is very rude. It is patronizing because they just make the investigation by the phone. Usually they do that by letter.
Oh, okay. So this is a little unusual.
Yeah, the unusual invitation. He said that during the meeting with the father, there were so many party committees leaders who are from the Internal Affairs Commission, from the Commission for Propaganda and Education, and also officers from the office of the party committee. So a lot of them. So after the father came back and he sent out an open letter to the party committee and request to conduct a dialogue face-to-face with them. But I don't think the open letter will be responded.
Okay.
During the meeting with the party committee, they focus on his articles that he wrote for VOA's Vietnamese, and they focus on the name of the party, the former party chief. His name is Lê Thanh Hải, who had a connection with the bankers. During the meeting, his father also heard some threats about the government have enough evidence to charge Mr. Dung with the Illegal Journalists Association.
This article was back in December, correct?
Journalist Pham Chi Dung, the article he wrote in December.
Okay. Yeah. And that was on the voanews.com website?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And so people in Vietnam could actually see this and read it?
Not all of them.
Not
because
all of
the
them.
Government, you know, they have the restriction on visiting these websites, including VOA.
Are there other ways that residents in Vietnam could see it?
They can visit the Facebook website of Vietnamese service.
In addition to the threats that were made, the government also wants to block his articles, correct?
He told me that the government is not happy with the article that he had written, and they will do their best to stop him from writing any articles in the future, especially any article about the former party chief.
At the moment, he is free, right?
Mr. Yung is a free man. He has not been charged anything. But whenever he go out of his house, the people will follow, especially if he had a meeting or had an appointment with someone. There is someone who follow him.
So he's right being away. Monitored, yes, very closely.
That's right.
So I guess the implication is if he were to write something that the government did not approve of, then he might be arrested at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
Wu, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, my pleasure.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
What's happening now in Asia? Check our VOA Asia Facebook page. There you'll find all the latest stories from Asia and perhaps very close to where you live. Will it have an effect on your life? We check with experts and correspondents to bring you the answers. Also, stop by our website at voanews.com. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. One of the very fun aspects of working at Voice of America is the fact that so many interesting people stop by and visit our studios here in Washington. Cambodian-American poet Monica Sok was here just the other day. Her work has appeared in The New Republic and The Offering. She was named as part of the Narrative's 30 Under 30 and is a 2016 through 2018 Stadler Fellow at Bucknell University. She spoke with my VOA Asia colleague Steve Miller. He began the conversation by asking her what inspired and piqued her interest in poetry.
That's a great question. I think that poetry just makes me feel empowered naturally. I just feel that it's a place where I can undo any silences about my history, my life. Being born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and growing up as a Cambodian American was difficult in a small town. And I think a lot of Cambodian Americans across the U.S. can relate to how that feels. For me, I felt turning to poetry, I could really celebrate who I am.
Some of your works deal with very traumatic times back in Cambodia. What is it for you personally that is important about some of the poems you've written about the conflict in Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge period that enables you to move forward? And also, what is it like to have those words be printed and shared with so many around the globe?
It's kind of scary to have to stand behind the words I've written, because some of these poems I've written for myself. But I think that it's important for me to explore history and write about the killing fields in poetry, because first of all, you know, I didn't see that being written a lot. I wasn't learning these histories in school. There is this writer, Toni Morrison, says, if there's a book that you want to read and it hasn't been written yet, then you must write that book. That's what I had to do to take initiative.
We're here in the 21st century, 2017. A lot of young people, you're one of the 30 under 30, look to internet fame for celebrity, for a career path, for something different than taking a normal career period.
Right.
Where do you see the role of poetry in this internet age?
I hope that in the internet age, poetry is made more accessible to people, audiences that do not usually get to listen to poetry or hear it or read it. So I think it's very useful for poets to be able to disseminate their work and to connect with others. And essentially, poetry is meant to help people empathize with one another.
Monica Sok is an author and the 2016 to 2018 Stadler Fellow at Bucknell University. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
News alerts from VOA Asia keep you up to date on the biggest stories as they happen. Listen daily to VOA Asia and stop by our Facebook page to get daily headlines with Steve Miller's Asia in a Minute and all of our latest posts with features and breaking news. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. For many people in the United States, the new year means trying to keep those pesky resolutions, the most common being to get in better shape. As it turns out, there's help available, an increasing number of wearable devices to keep your workout honest. Technology experts say people in the United States and Asia are increasingly trying them out. VOA's Elizabeth Lee looks at one such wearable device that is the brainchild of a Chinese immigrant who wanted to have an inexpensive, portable coach.
Matt Knight loves boxing, but he's learned from experience that getting a trainer in San Francisco is not cheap.
Coming in for like a one-on-one session would have cost a ton of money for like the level of caliber that these guys were.
Knight searched around and found a wearable device called Move that coaches users in cardio boxing. Unlike passive wearable devices that only count a user's steps, Move is able to talk and coach Knight during workouts.
Try to keep your wrists straight.
Through an app on a mobile device.
Move doesn't necessarily give you the full guidance that you would get from a real-life coach, but it does guide you through the cardio aspects of it, which is actually one of the tougher parts of, you know, staying on top of while you're boxing, is that you run out of energy.
Right foot forward.
Knight used the product so often that Move hired him to test it. Besides cardio boxing, this waterproof device also coaches users in four other types of workouts, including swimming and cycling. Beijing native Meng Li, Move's co-founder, was inspired to develop this wearable coach while hard at work at another startup in Silicon Valley.
I find like I'm not as healthy and active as before, you know, and I start feeling like, you know, I need to work hard, I need to charge myself, but I don't have time to go to the gym or, you know, money to pay the trainer. So that's actually part of the reason how we started. Move.
Lee says what makes her wearable device unique is how it tracks a user's movements.
We created both the sensor technology as well as the AI coaching in-house. So one focuses more on the hardware, the other focuses more on the software. So the sensor senses your movement in 3D space. For example, it senses your range of motion, it senses your rotation, it senses your orientation.
Fitness-oriented wearable devices are not only gaining popularity in the U.S., they are also trendy in many Asian countries, the reason behind this Chinese-language promotional video.
In China, the trend of fitness is growing so fast, and we see very similar behaviors and need from our consumers in China, and it's growing. But at the beginning, we didn't expect that. It was basically a surprise.
As with many immigrants who attend graduate school in the U.S., Lee decided to stay and work here. But she has a team of employees in China, and she expects more trips home as her three-year-old startup grows. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, San Mateo, California.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
Developing at this hour in Asia are the stories that may affect you. VOA Asia brings you the stories that matter, from our regional reporters and correspondents who speak the local languages and then visit with us to share their news and features in English. Many stories that you will only find here. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Facebook at our VOA Asia page.
Crystal, crystal,
That's Indonesian singer Irma June. It's been many years since you've heard new music from her, but she's seeking to make a comeback in both her homeland and the United States. VOA Indonesian reporter Ariano Arifin tells us about this possible high note of Irma June's career. Cinta kita kekal
selamanya. Irma June singing Kristal Kristal Cinta, or Love Crystals, her hit song from 1989. Irma June came out of her 18-year hiatus to release a new album from the U.S., meant to be heard by both American and Indonesian audience. Her first single, called It's Me, is a departure from her romantic ballads, with a touch of 80s disco.
Kayaknya bisa dibilang tuh agak different ya, gitu. Kalau nggak dibilang totally different, ya a bit different, karena musiknya disco.
It's a bit different from what I used to record. It's fun, it's different. But I sing any kind of song anyway, from pop to opera to traditional music, so I didn't really have trouble singing it.
In the 1990s, Irma June's distinctive raspy voice and pop ballads dominated the airwaves. But since 1999, Irma had to put her career on hold to focus her time and energy on family, the family business, and bringing up her two children.
Sebenarnya sih, 18 tahun tuh masa 18 tahun vakum dari industri kali ya gitu. Tapi aku nyanyi di untuk gospel music.
Nobody asked me to quit my career. I did it for myself. I might stop singing for the industry, but I still sing, mostly gospel music. And I've been focusing more on family business, going back and forth between Indonesia and the U.S.
Irma decided to heed the call of her musical passion that never really left her. So she recorded and released her first single in the United States, titled It's Me.
Suami support banget, anak-anak support banget, ternyata keluarga support banget. Terus dari situ baru mulai membuka diri lagi ke publik.
My husband is very supportive, and he got me in touch with musicians from Nashville. They offered me the opportunity to record songs here in the U.S., and I said yes.
Irma plans to record more songs and release them before launching the entire album in 2017 and going on tour. She said she would focus on the American audience. Irma says that although record sales is very competitive in the U.S., she's confident her music can be accepted by Indonesian and American audiences.
Yang menyatu dalam hatiku, tak akan pudar selamanya sampai akhir hayatku. Cinta kita kekal selamanya.
Our thanks to VOA Indonesian reporter Ariano Arifin. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page by that same name, VOA Asia. We thank our director and engineer and everyone behind the scenes, including managing editor Diane Gao. There are so many ways to listen to our program: streaming on voanews.com, subscribing to our free podcast, and hearing our live Facebook streams. Whichever way you listen, we hope you enjoy our program. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Thank you.